Stephen wanted me to trip on my way up here, and I didn't, so in your face. My name is Chris Carpenter. I'm an alcoholic. Congratulations to everybody who picked up chips. And Stephen, thanks for asking me to speak tonight. And Joe, you did a great job, man. I could really relate to what you had to say. And I'm definitely nervous, too. That's just the way it goes, I think, because my ego gets flowing and I want to be awesome. And that wasn't my story. I wasn't awesome. I was throwing up in the bushes and people writing Sharpie on my forehead. And that's my story, you know. let's see here. My sobriety date is April 26, 2001. I have a sponsor as a sponsor. I sponsor others. Not currently. I'm accepting applications. Okay. I have a home group. It's worth to mention. Great meeting. I know I see some of you guys out there sometimes. And I got a great support group today. Good fellowship. Good fellowship. You know what? Whenever I come down here, I always notice that whenever the speaker gets around, it's all squeaky up here, and that always annoys me. So I'm going to be that guy tonight who's annoying myself. That's me. My story. You know, I came from a pretty average family. You know, my family got divorced. My parents got divorced when I was like 5 and moved up to upstate New York. It was like more cows than people in the town that I grew up in. And, it was like just what I did. Went to a really small school, K through 12. You know, I had a graduating class of 34. So it was a public school. So it was, couldn't really, you know, get away with a lot. Thinking about it right now and that awkward feeling that I hear people talk about a lot, and you know, yeah, it was definitely there. My biggest thing was to, you know, fit in and impress. You know, I wanted to fit in, and I also wanted to stand out. You know, that egomaniac with inferiority complex that the book talks about. I definitely could relate to that. I don't know why, just it was what it was. I don't remember the first time that I drank. I definitely remember the first time that I got drunk, though. And I remember seeing my brother, my stepbrother, he used to drink Jack Daniels, you know, and I was like, that's a cool, the bottle looks cool, it's got the number 7 on it, it's just the whole thing, the setup was beautiful, it was awesome. And he was in high school, he was a teenager, you know, and he would drink, and he was like, you know, he was a popular guy, he was like the head on the soccer team, and you know, ladies liked him and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't even know if I wanted any of that. I just knew that he was cool and people thought he was cool. And I was up for that. So I always bothered him to get a bottle for me, you know. And one night he got me a bottle of Jack Daniels and I had my buddy come over and we drank that bottle and we chased it with iced tea. It was like, this is disgusting. But, you know, we drank for effect right from the start. I don't know why else anybody would drink. So I drank until I was falling down. And that night, you know, we had come up with this plan, me and my buddy. We drank at this little blue table. And we had made this plan that we're going to start a bar and we're going to call it the Blue Table. And we'll have, like, the OG Blue Table above the bar. And it'll be, like, lacquered into the wall or something. I don't know. And then we'd be able to just sit and drink on the porch and watch our grandchildren run around on, like, a farm. That was like the whole plan. Like that was it. You know, that was like going to be, it was going to be awesome. And I had no plans of like getting married and having kids so they could have kids so I could have those grandchildren. Or, you know, I was like just this crazy thought of like, yeah, I'm going to get a bar and then have grandkids and drink like with a rocking chair. That's the plan. So that night, you know, from what I remember, it was awesome. I blacked out. My buddy said it, you know, it was pretty cool, but I was puking a lot, and he had to clean it up. And that night, I experienced my worst hangover out of all my drinking that first night. And I remember being on a trampoline the next day and just hating my life, every minute of my life, because he's jumping around, and I'm like, oh, you're such a dick, because I'm puking off the side of the trampoline. You know, and something, you know, if I had experienced something like that today, not drinking, but something else that had made me feel that way, I would have been like, that was miserable. You know, like that did not, the ends didn't justify the means, or the outcome sucked. So I wouldn't do that again. But for some reason, I was like, that was awesome. You know, I had really arrived with that drink. It was so free. You know, I'd always had this feeling of not being able to be me. Like that just wasn't possible for me. I always had to be really reserved, and I could let a few people into my life, but I really couldn't just be me, because I was so scared. And booze took that away from me. I didn't care. You know, I was like that happy, joyous, and free guy. It was awesome. And I found my solution, I felt. So I don't know. I was like 12 or 13 or something like that when I drank. And I don't remember the next time that I drank, but I remember, you know, I would get booze, and later on, you know, I would incorporate some drugs into that. I always went back to alcohol for me. Get my phone out here so I can see what time it is. You know, it went from drinking. It's not like you could just get alcohol when you're, you know, 13, 14 years old all the time. It wasn't easy. You had to work for it, you know. So I couldn't do it all the time, and I did work for it. And when I could drink, I did. And when I couldn't, I didn't. You know, I felt like that compulsion wasn't there, you know, that for me to drink all the time. But it definitely, that seed was set for me. I started becoming like a weekend drinker, you know, maybe around like 14, 14, 15. I was a weekend drinker, and I remember always going over to these guys' house, and it was awesome, you know, because I was really into skateboarding. You know, it's funny, I come up here, and my sponsor always told me, when you come up, you wear a suit. That's what you do when you come up and you speak for Alcoholics Anonymous. And if people don't hear a message in what I have to say tonight, that's okay, because there's a lot of different people in AA, and there's a lot of different ways that the message is carried. So go to a different meeting. Just don't take what AA is off of what I'm saying. But if I had heard, you know, if I'd heard some guy come up here and he's wearing a suit, and I was just like, tune out. I'm like, nope, I'm done. You know, like, I don't want to hear that guy talk. I want to hear the dude with like some ripped up jeans and some cool tattoos, and you know, he's like got a busted up arm because he was skateboarding and messed up. You know, like that's the guy that I can really relate to. But here I am, because that's what my sponsor always told me to do, and he hasn't steered me wrong yet. So anyway, I have no idea where I was going with that. That's for sure. I was skating. I was doing that at one point. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I got it. It came, clicked. So, yeah, so, you know, I really used to be into skateboarding, and I got hooked up with these older kids who were, you know, they used to skate and drink, and they were awesome. You know, long hair, Nirvana, like just my guys, you know, like all the girls that I had crushes on, loved them. And I was like, this is where it's at. You know, I need to connect with these guys somehow and skate with them. And one guy had a rat. I was like, this is cool. You know, like, I don't know. You know, that's the kind of guys I hung out with, you know, or I wanted to hang out with. So I started skateboarding, and I got hooked up with these guys, and I would hang out with them. And I was one of the young kids who could go hang out with them on the weekends and drink, you know, and it was awesome, because they showed me drinking games, and all of a sudden I was like hanging with that crew that I saw that my brother was, you know, like my stepbrother, who I thought was like the coolest guy, and I got to be with that crew. All of a sudden I was in with them, and you know, I don't know how they saw it, you know, but I thought it was the coolest thing in the world, and my mom did everything that she could to prevent that from happening. And I was like, man, she's just trying to suck the cool right out of me. Like, doesn't she understand that I just arrived like in this awesome situation? I'm drinking with these guys, like I get to brag about it at school, and you know, I got to be, I could never be just even keeled, you know. I had to be better than or worse than, or you know. So by hanging with those guys, I got to be better than everybody else, but I still wasn't as good as them. So it was like, you know. It was a mess. So I'm drinking with these guys, and they're teaching me drinking games and having fun, and I'm really not seeing too many repercussions from that, other than that I'm having a little bit of a personality change, and by that I mean, you know, alcohol still gave me that happy, joyous, and free feeling that it did for a while for me. But when I wasn't drinking, I was emotional, and I was moody and a jerk. Some people say I'm like that today, but it was bad. It wasn't good. So my mom was like my biggest. That was the person who was like trying to put the brakes on my life. I didn't have the law too heavily involved in my drinking, and I was young, so that's where most of my like authority figure came from. And I remember one night on New Year's, I went out, and she's like, it was like the millennium, and like 2000, got to go out, Y2K, it's going to be like awesome. And she's like, you can't go out. And I'm like, it's Y2K, Mom, you don't understand. I got to drink, So I went out. I did my thing, and I knew she was going to try to put the brakes on me any way she could. So I went to my the regular house that I drank at, and then those guys that I used to love hanging with, they were going to another house. So I went with them, and I found out later that my mom went in her night robe to the house that I drank at and was screaming and romping through the house looking for me, and I was like, what the hell are you doing to my life here? She ruined everything. I wasn't allowed back at the house anymore. It was horrible. That kind of weird stuff happened, even with, that was weird. But, my mom was of the belief, she said, if you're working and you can spend your own money and the summers are yours. So when school got out, I had a job and I was working and I spent every penny that I wanted to, every penny that I had and that I stole from work, because I definitely couldn't just earn enough to drink. I had to steal it too. I spent that on drinking, and still not facing too many repercussions from that. Having a really good time. By this time, like I said, my mom went crazy, and I wasn't allowed to hang out with that group anymore. And so I found these other guys, and this guy was the cool drug dealer in town, and we drank Heineken's, that was class beer, So we were I was big time again. He had a blazer with a huge stereo system in it, and it's like, this is cool, he's got a house. I was 15, 16, I didn't have any friends with houses, So I'm hanging with that guy during the summer, and we're drinking, and my drinking's picking up a little bit, and I'm starting to drink every night. My mom's kind of letting me out every night because I'm showing up to work, and I'm drinking every night, and I'm showing up to work, and I'm not hungover, maybe hungover. I don't know. I felt like crap because I don't sleep. I don't sleep. I drink all night. I go to Hess and get a piece of pizza, and then that's my life. Pizza, drinking, puking up that one slice of pizza, going to work. That was it. It was this revolving thing. But my mom started to notice something in me. Something that was changing. And my mom was a nurse, so she used to get free drug tests. And she used to love to drop drug tests on me, and that sucked. Because whenever she would drop that on me, she would kick me out of the house because I would always fail them. So I would go and I'd pee in the cup, and I'd swear up and down, and I'd be pissed that she I can't believe that you don't trust me, haven't I shown you at this point that I've done the right things? And then she's like, well, your drug test came back positive, so please get out unless you're going to stop doing drugs, and you can stay. There's no problem. It's like, stop trying to control me, and I would leave. And I would do the couch surfing thing or stay at a buddy's house. And that's how my life became. I had this nice, stable place. Parents who cared about me and a family who loved me and people who really wanted the best for me, and that didn't matter to me. What mattered to me was I was so selfish and self-centered. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I couldn't see how that stuff was affecting anybody else. I would go out and my mom and dad, they would be so nervous. You know, they'd be so nervous that I wouldn't come back, or that I'd be drinking and driving, or, you know, doing these things that I definitely did. And I just thought it was fun, and I was invincible and all this good stuff. And I didn't care about them. You know, I didn't care what they were thinking. That was their problem if they were worried about me. So that daily drinking continued into school. By that time, you know, I'd been having some pretty bad problems, and I was in my second nut hut that I went to, and give you the rubber room and all that lovely stuff, and the plastic sheets so you don't ruin their mattress. And it was I was like, man, these people are crazy in here. What am I doing in here? You know, because I was crazy to the outside world. You know. And I was miserable, you know, and the reason I always went to one of those places was because I tried to kill myself, and I tried to kill myself because I couldn't see any solution. You know, alcohol had been my solution for so long, or it just been such an instant solution for me. You know, it really did exactly what I needed it to do. It made me feel so free, and it was magical, you know, it was awesome. And I didn't realize that I was just hurting the people around me, and that I was kind of I was really avoiding life and starting to screw my life up. You know, I couldn't see that. I was really messed up. So I would go to a nut hut, and they would be like, oh, you need to be on these meds. And I'd be like, look, I got meds that I take, and I'm not, you know, they're your prescribed meds, or I can take my own meds and my own little concoction, and what's the difference? And you know, they weren't hearing that. So I would get out, and life would be okay for a little while, and I wouldn't try to kill myself or whatever. And I would keep drinking and being on antidepressants or what, you know, all sorts of stuff that just like messes with you. And by this time, I'm, you know, not doing so well in school. I gotta speed this up a little bit here. I'm not doing so well in school. I'm in I'm a senior, I guess. Let's go there. And I don't know, you know, I just don't know what to do because my solution isn't working for me anymore. I'm a daily drinker. That dude who's a drug dealer and like the cool guy and all that stuff, when he had turned 21, for some reason alcohol, it just like lost its luster for him. He just would rather do like that, the illegal stuff, you know. I guess that was like part of the draw, was because it was illegal, you know. I don't know, but he cut down on his drinking a lot. So I cut down on hanging out with him a lot, you know. I was like, he would still do a lot of drugs, but that is not where my love was. Alcohol is where I always found my solution. So I found these other two guys, you know, and man, these guys were drinkers. It was awesome. And we would drink and, you know, throw each other through closet doors, and like it was, I don't know, this guy had this apartment, and it was like he had this horrible like 70s shag carpet, and when it would rain really bad, the carpet would become like really squishy because it was in like the side of a mountain, so it would get wet in the apartment, so we'd like be squishing around in there. But I was like, this is awesome, you know, like, we got sheets for a bathroom door and squishy floors, that's perfect. So on one of my kicked out episodes, I got kicked out a lot during that time, and I would always go back to his place, and he would let me crash on the couch for a little while, and until he'd ask me for rent, and then I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna get my stuff together and go back and mooch off my mom for a little while. So I'm sitting there one night, and I'm having this profound spiritual experience on mushrooms, and something that I'm really not proud of. You know, in order to fund my habit, I used to, like I said, I used to skateboard, and I got all these little kids into skateboarding, you know, and they really looked up to me, and it was cool, you know. They always wanted to hang out and that kind of stuff, and so I, you know, in order to keep doing what I was doing, I really was willing to go to any lengths. And so I started selling drugs to these kids so that I could fund my alcohol and my drug habit. And, you know, I would, like, let a select few come and hang out with me sometimes. And that particular night, you know, I had this beat-up truck, and it didn't have the brakes. It had, like, a hole in the brake line, so I had a... It was a standard, so I'm, like, downshifting to go down hills, and I have an e-brake, and, like, I didn't take care of anything in my life. And this kid's hanging out with me, and I'm sitting on that couch, and he's on the squishy carpet on a beanbag, trying not to, you know, touch the floor, because it's gross. I'm watching TV, and I have, you know, a beer, and I got one, you know, one hit left in my bowl, and you know how you make great decisions on mushrooms, so it took me 6 hours to decide when I wanted to take that hit, you know. It's got to be right, you know, it's got to be just right. So I realized, I'm like, man, I can't keep living like this. I hate right now. I just, it's so empty, and man, I had it. You know, I had that emptiness. I was at that low point. So I went back to my mom, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I got to change. You know, something's got to change. I want to move back in. And she was like, yeah, whatever. You know, I mean, she'd heard that so many times. What else was she supposed to, you know, oh, that's great. You're going to come back and mooch off me for a little while until I drug test you, and then I'm going to kick you out, and this is awesome. I'm so glad that we're going to do this again. You know, so, but I meant it. With all my heart, I meant it this time. And I went home that night, and I told my buddy I was, you know, moving out, and so that night, after my spiritual experience, you know, I move home that day, and the very next night, I'm back at that same exact house celebrating my new change in life, with some Southern Comfort, and you know, I'm just doing the same exact thing, because I had no idea, I didn't know any other way, I had no clue. Man, it was awful, but I just that was my solution for a while, you know. And I came home that night, and my sister's boyfriend, we were in the same grade, myself and my sister's boyfriend, and there was a cake on the table, and it said "Welcome home, Jared," because he had gone on a senior trip, you know. And I was always boasting, I'm like, you know, you got to do your stupid car washes for senior trip, and I could pay $5 and have an awesome senior trip in my room with my black lights and my acid, you know, like whatever. So, you know, that was my, so I see this cake, you know, and I'm so full of self. I'm like, I came home too, just so y'all know. I was coming home too that night, but I had no cake. Jared had a cake. I had no cake. So I'll show you. So I had a chihuahua. It had seizures. So I ate all this chihuahua seizure medication, you know, and I drank a bunch of NyQuil, and I don't know, I just ate everything I could in the medicine cabinet. And I was like, yeah, that's right, I'll show you, I'll die, and that'll be awesome. You'll really wish that you had gotten me a cake. So 2 days later, I wake up, and, you know, it was close, you know, I like, shit my bed, and it was a mess, you know, it was just a mess. That man stands before you. You know, I was rushed to the ER, and it seemed like I was still really out of it, and the guy in the ER, he's like trying to, you know, they're doing whatever they got to do to me, and my mom's crying by my side, and my grandfather walks in, and my mom, you know, she'd always kind of bailed me out of these situations. So my grandfather walks in, and he's like, just get this fucking kid out of here. And my grandfather's a man that I always looked up to. You know, he's someone, I didn't really have my dad growing up, so he's a man that he kind of showed me how to be a man. Tried to show me, and I love him a lot, and I really looked up to him. And he said, "Get this fucking kid out of here. He's hurt my daughter too much." And I was like, "Oh crap, you know, this is not good." So I get here, and then I go there, and I'm trying to give the, you know, the ambulance guy advice on, like, how, you know, look, if you're going to try to kill yourself, let me tell you what not to do, because that didn't work this time. And he's like, okay, guy, whatever, just shut up, please. Let me take your vitals. So I end up in another nut hut, and you know, it was was where I belonged at that point. When I was in there, I don't even know what the heck I was doing in there. I was just buying time. I had no plans on getting sober or anything, but everybody in my life, you know, I'd gotten arrested before, and my school was all jacked up, and my friends, you know, I didn't really hang with my friends anymore, and I was like, I was that kid, you know, don't go around that guy, he's just bad news. And I just brought a path of destruction wherever I went. So I'm in there, and all I can think of is when I get out, what a party I'm going to have. Like, I'm just can't wait, you know. I was never four keggers in my whole life, you know, but I'm like, it's going to be a kegger, and it's going to be awesome, and, like, we're going to do all this crazy stuff, and I don't know. That was like that, because that was my solution. I just went back there again, you know. My buddies came up. Actually, one of my drinking buddies came up, and he was telling me, man, when you get out, it's going to be crazy. We're going to have so much fun. And I'm like, that's awesome. And then he left, and, man, I had a total panic attack. I was freaking out, and I punched this glass thing and cracked it, and then the alarm started going off, and I'm like, this is definitely not going to be good. The big guys came in, and they dragged me into a room, got me nice and cozy with the four-point restraints, and gave me a little injection in my butt. And I got high, and I was like, awesome. Now I can fake panic attacks in here and get high. This is great. Now I can just do what I got to do in this place, so when I get out, I can keep doing what I'm doing. So I started doing that. I didn't have to punch things. I could just say, I'm starting to get a little worked up. I gotta need a little help, you know. And they give me a pill. You know, my mom loves to remind me. She's like, I hope those pills were good, because I'm still paying them off today, you know. It's like, don't worry, Mom. They were awesome. One night we're going out for a smoke. I'm 17 at this point, you know. And we're going out for a smoke, and I'm in that place. And I'd just taken my pill. It was going to be awesome. I'm starting to feel it. I get smoke. It's great. Life is good. And this nurse, she just called me out. And she was like, you're not going outside. I'm like, what are you talking about? And she was like, someone in your condition can't be out. You could go AWOL. You know, you could try to jump a fence or do something like that. I was like, well, I'm just going out for a cigarette, you know? And she was like, look, you're not fooling me, all right? I know that you're faking these things. You're getting high. You're going to go out there. You're going to do the same thing that you've always been doing. And you're going to die like the majority of the other people out there. And that really ruined my buzz. I was pretty upset about that. But she was right, you know? So the next morning I wake up, she's on staff, and I cry and I apologize, and I'm like, you're right, I need help. And she's like, good, I hope you don't go die like the rest of them. And she walked away again. I was like, what the hell? That's always, you know, turn on the tears. That's always worked in the past. I get a hug and life is good. They told me I couldn't get out of there unless I went to AA. So, that's what I did. I went out and I decided to go to, well, I went to AA because it was like 24-hour lockdown, or you go to AA for an hour a night. I'm like, all right, I'll do the AA. So I start going there, and I've like not talked about sobriety at all, which is what it is, I guess. When I came to AA, I was just, it was weird. You know, it was a bunch of old people. I didn't have a clue what to do. All these old guys are coming up to me and giving me their phone number, and they're like, if you feel like drinking, read this book, this big blue book, or give me a call. And I'm like, man, I do not want to be your friend. Thank you.